If you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Representative Tulsi Gabbard became the 12th Democratic presidential candidate to qualify for the party's October primary debate on Tuesday after a new poll showed her with 2% support in New Hampshire. On Monday, the DNC announced to make the cut for the fifth debate in November. Candidates have to get support from at least 165,000 donors and score 3% or higher in 4 qualifying polls, or at least 5% in 2 approved polls in early state polls. Gabbard shares with Fox News how she's doing regarding those requirements.
We have far surpassed the grassroots donor requirement weeks ago, the previous requirement as well as this new one that's been announced. It's the polling requirements that have really been kind of arbitrary about which polls the DNC recognizes as credible, which ones they don't. This is the problem, not just for me and my campaign, but really the problem is for voters who are seeing a lack of transparency, therefore a lack of trust in the process, and are questioning, is this really working for us? Or is the DNC just trying to be these gatekeepers in Washington dictating to voters in the early states, especially like Iowa and New Hampshire, who they are allowed to choose from to be our Democratic nominee? That's the problem.
And finally, Tuesday is National Voter Registration Day. It's the seventh year for the event, which is dedicated to the American democracy and aims to ensure every eligible voter is registered to make their voices heard at the polls. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. It's Tuesday, September 24th. We're here in beautiful downtown Flemington, New Jersey, at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. And we're broadcast on Facebook Live, and also this podcast. It's really a video podcast, so you can always replay it on my Facebook page entitled Teachable Moments in Business. Plus, it's in the podcast archives on the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce website. So I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm here almost every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we make an effort to have some wonderful guests come to be interviewed on this program, and I have been pretty successful in getting great people. And today I've got a great one. So I would like you to meet Eric Kober. And Eric, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Vicki. Thanks for having me, and you're all too gracious. So appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, it's great that you're here. Eric and I had a chance to meet briefly maybe a month ago, and then we had a lengthy conversation on the telephone. We got into all kinds of things that I think were interesting. He's the owner and founder of Kober Strategic Leader Consulting LLC, and he and you just joined the Chamber of Commerce too.
I did.
Yeah, so that's
absolutely
good.
Great resource.
But he has a wonderful and interesting background in and experiences that he's using to work with clients that need help sustaining their business and their profitability. And so we're going to get into some of that, but I have a word from one of our sponsors, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. Teachable Moments Business was created for the purpose of allowing our audiences to learn more about business and how business functions and how to be successful. And it doesn't make any difference if you're the owner or an operator or perhaps you're a budding entrepreneur. But I guarantee you that there's information that will be shared and offered on all of my programs. So I recommend that you have a pencil and paper handy because there will be something mentioned that I know you can gain some knowledge from. So Eric Kober is my guest today, and as I said earlier, he's the owner and founder of Kober Strategic Leader Consulting, LLC. So, Eric, you had sent me a link to your bio, and I obviously looked through it, and you have a wonderful, interesting background. It's very unique. I don't think every day I run into somebody like you.
Thank you.
So I'm always interested to know where people have come from and what it is that has led them to develop and a new business. And
sure.
In your cases especially, you have an interesting pathway that you've taken to get here. So if you can please just share where you've come from, I think, and point out that maybe there's some experiences that you have that will, I know there are things that we'll mention about your background that would apply to your new business. But let's start with where you came from.
Sure. Vicki, so I grew up in Hohokus, New Jersey, so it's not too far from here, about an hour to hour and a half, depending on traffic. It was quite a circuitous route from Hohokus, New Jersey, to here now in the Flemington area. It took me through Midland Park High School. In the early years, I was a public school, where I can say I was not a superstar performer academically, but I was fairly well-rounded, played sports, enjoyed my social time as well as my, academics. And ultimately, since fifth grade, had a desire to go to West Point. That's where it started. And then, so I didn't get in the front door to West Point. I actually went kind of through the kitchen door, called the United States Military Academy Prep School.
Oh, you did? Really?
I did, yep. And so in 1992, I was accepted to the prep school and then went on to the academy in 93.
Where's the prep school located?
At that time, it was in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey.
Really?
Which, if you're familiar, that's really close to the beach.
Yeah.
The 10 months was tough, but being at the beach wasn't too tough, considering, we put in some good work, and ultimately that work did end up with an acceptance to the academy, mm-hmm. which I was super excited about. And really that, looking back at those formative years, it's really what led me to even be doing what I'm doing today. You know, that idea of determination and resilience really seeded itself in my life early, and so when I focus on engaging small businesses and those that are thinking about it, it's just really exciting to see in their eyes that little glimmer, like of hesitation but excitement at the same time.
Yeah.
I did graduate the academy in 97. Fast forwarding through really it was 23 years of Army experience. I was an Army aviator. I flew Apaches all the way up through 2009. My last flying deployment was to Iraq in 2009. I further went on, for another decade, basically. Mm-hmm. In June, I just retired. So, but I was doing a little more operational planning and some of that side of the Army. Ultimately brought me to retiring out of West Point. All too appropriately.
Yeah.
And then figuring out, even probably 2 or 3 years before retirement, I started thinking about, what do I want to do when I grow up?
Right.
And Chick-fil-A entered in the picture a little bit. So there's, you know, as we tie talking to my ideal client and why my ideal client is who it is, that's where the restaurateur's franchisee piece comes in a little bit.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I'm happy to share on that. And really just the focus on, you know, so I am a franchise owner myself, and Strategic Leaders Academy is my franchise. So as you look at KSLC LLC, I'm an owner of that franchise, and that really allows me to talk in what I think is a super formative way with small businesses mm-hmm. about sustainable growth, just mm-hmm. like you said, you know. So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, there are a lot of – I mean, I've been doing consulting for a long time for small business owners, occasionally a medium-sized company, but I seem mm-hmm. to focus on – because of where I've been doing it, which is the Small Business Development Center, and mostly you get small business owners, individuals, or small companies.
Yeah.
So that's where my experience comes from, but I use my background experience to help me guide somebody through the issues that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But having been in the military, you come from a totally different time and place than I do, and you bring a value to your clients that that would be very unique, I would think, compared to some other people that do counseling, whether they started their business or they go through a franchise. Why did mm-hmm. you choose to go through the franchise structure rather than just start a consulting business?
Well, so what I learned in the Army over that time was really the idea of having a language that everybody understands, so a common language upon which to work. And in order to do that, in my mind, in the consulting business, in order to translate all this military experience and whatnot that I've had to the business world, would have taken really a lot of work on my behalf to bring that to the level where I'm tying that experience into something which is really novel to me.
Yeah.
You know, so literally in the moment of pivoting myself, having to develop all that content yeah. would have been a major undertaking. So interestingly enough, as I was researching, looking for, you know, how do I want to do this, I thought I would very much find myself in the same place that Dr.
Yeah.
Kalenda, who's the founder of SLA, found himself in 2014. Having to develop all this new content and literally generate what was his business mm-hmm. at the individual level. But in research, I was Googling through and looking for other people that have experienced that same journey that I was about to embark upon.
Hmm.
And so I fell upon Chris, and I called him and said, "Chris, I'm really interested in your journey. Can you tell me about it? Where did it start? How did you get there?" And he said, "Absolutely, Eric." And we talked through it, and I told him my story and said, "Look, I'm literally at the crossroads of transition, and I'm interested to know, what the left and right limits of that are. So on the left side, I can start my own, literally do exactly like you did in 2014, or on the right side, I could go work for a big firm like Deloitte or, you know, Booz Allen Hamilton or someone like
yeah.
that at that level." And I really decided that after that conversation, what he offered and really what was the first franchise opportunity of two, like myself and another retired senior military officer,
mm-hmm.
Had the opportunity to do. So he offered the opportunity. I said, it sounds like exactly what I need. You know, that common language, which is about sustainable growth, culture, leadership, and strategy being the big three,
right.
and the legs of a stool, creating that foundation.
Right.
What better language to speak in, and to be able to translate effectively to that business mm-hmm. owner my military experiences. So, and to this day, I mean, really, it's been super exciting, great experience engaging small business owners and talking to them in that language.
Yeah.
And they really they get it. I mean, they really see the impact of and the parallels once you share it with them from the military experience to the business fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, swimming in the pool with the sharks,
right.
being on the entrepreneurial roller coaster. There's so many parallels that communicate very clearly even from my military experience. Yeah. So
that's what I was curious about, because sometimes people who have had what I call real jobs have have a difficult time transitioning into having their own businesses, because they haven't had to be chief cook and bottle washer.
Sure.
And I was just curious that in the military, you obviously, well, it says that, so you've done a number of things. You've kind of told us a little bit, but you've gotten involved with leadership, culture, and strategy in the military through school, through being a helicopter pilot, through commanding troops from the platoon to the battalion level. Would you say that those experiences were really brought out an entrepreneurial spirit in you?
Oh yeah,
because you had to make decisions.
Absolutely, yeah. So you know, I was just talking to a colleague just the other day, and helping him. He's a small business owner, has several businesses actually all under one roof, which is amazing, And the idea that my experience and the organizations I've worked with in the Army absolutely directly correlate to the business experience, whether it's small business or whether you're talking about, you know, the IBMs and the Googles and the big organizations of the world. Those organizational dynamics and principles apply at every level. And so I really hearken back to, you know, in 2004 and my first troop command experience. So I'm a 6.5 year Army officer now. Feel like I know it all. You know, they probably read about the place most entrepreneurs are, but then you're like, I really don't know anything. You know, in the back of your mind, you know that there's so much to learn. And and in the Army, you're being given, as a troop commander or company commander, you're being given the first helm of real responsibility for people, for equipment. So that day, and this was kind of unique, we were taking a what was an Alpha Model Apache company and turning it into a Delta Model, which is the modified Longbow helicopter. So you're going from an analog version to a digital version, basically, of this helicopter, this airframe. So we basically took our old ones, turned those in. We were literally creating a new company. And, you know, the clear presence of that was on the day that we all assumed our guidons, because there were three people standing behind me in formation, because that's how many people had shown up to be part of this new organization.
Yeah.
And it was literally, you know, the building of a small business. All that being said, you know, an attack helicopter business, and part of a grander business, you know. So at the squadron level, there were really three companies just like that alongside each other. The same interaction, the same competition that you would have with, you know, a fellow small business.
There you go. Yeah.
The same understanding of the limited resources that are available. There was just so much I learned in that time. And really, until probably 2008 or 9, I didn't start connecting the dots. Until, you know, I really realized I had such a love for business that I decided to get an MBA. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing those relevant connections, the reflection on, you know, my military experience and, hey, what does that translate to out there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, like, location, location, location really matters.
Right.
That's interesting, because it does from the military perspective, too. Where you put your troops, where you put your finite resources, I mean, it can be life or death.
You're right.
And sincerely the same way in the business world, life or death for a company.
That's right.
So it's been really cool to start, you know, sharing that with other small business leaders.
Well, we're going to go back to some of our sponsors, and then I want to ask you about who you've been sharing this information with.
Sure.
So we'll go into a couple of our sponsor messages.
Well, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Either or, so it didn't really...
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I hope you have a pencil and a paper handy. My guest today is Eric Kober, who is the owner and founder of Kober Strategic Leadership Consulting, LLC. And as a former military man with a tremendous amount of many years, over 2 decades of experience in the military, he's been able to apply the things that he's learned to help entrepreneurs be successful in their own businesses. So, Eric, I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay.
Tell us about the kind of clients that you would like to work with, that you've had experience with, and maybe tie in some of the strategic planning that goes into working with those clients based on the experiences that you've had in the military.
Sure. So, and that's a great question. So I set out with the express intention. I think I was deliberate about trying to figure out who my ideal client was, but I also recognized that that what we had to offer in the idea of sustainable growth and a culture of excellence and everything that we purport in Strategic Leaders Academy could apply to any business. Mm-hmm. So interestingly enough, I started kind of observing. I was doing my own little strategy up front in developing my own business. So I went to observe restaurateurs at work in their place, whether it was, you know, you name the franchise, I probably visited it in my first 30 days. So from June to July, there was no engagement necessarily. I wasn't selling anything. It wasn't anything like that. It was just me strictly observing to understand how those leaders were working in their environments. Mm-hmm. So that I could see, because that's who I felt like in my heart of hearts was the ideal client for me. And you know, there's some pretty deep passion there, because really they are a community that serves. And unless there's something wrong, they don't hear about it. I actually found that, you know, in phase two, I'll talk about the second month, but, you know, in observation, I was merely looking to watch and see. In the second month, I decided, you know, hey, observing isn't gonna cut. Probably need to start actually engaging with the environment that I'm in and understanding where these folks are at. So I started talking to shift managers and general managers and really whoever I could engage with, and just sitting with them for 5, 10, 15 minutes. You know, any restaurant you go into nowadays, if it's a successful franchise, you know, there isn't 5, 10, 15 minutes really to share. So they're really giving me a gift when they do that. So I started engaging, started talking, and it was really positive. I was really surprised how many of them would offer their time as long as I, you know, was true. And, hey, 10, 15 minutes, that's it. We, you know, I'm going to cut myself and you off just so you can get back to doing what you're doing. Yeah. But sitting down with them, I learned so much. And so And then within really the third month, which is really now, what I found was I was actually being engaged by other folks that could be prospective clients in conversation, and realizing that as I as I'm now really comfortable understanding the ties and the connections that and that I had really something to offer and value, that man, a lot of folks are willing to talk about it. So so I can't say that I've really not even worked yet with my ideal client because it's been so short a period.
Right.
But I have had probably half a dozen engagements and as well have engaged with who I believe is going to be my first client. And, you know, I was telling a little bit about that up front, but, you know, really neat opportunity to have an impact on what's a small business in a thriving population. You know, in this Flemington area, and it all really began with the discussion of strategy, and you know what do we need to put in place to have that competitive interaction that you're looking for as a small business? Like, you know, all the measures of success are there. You see them in people walking in and out of the door, loving the product. You see it in, you know, in feedback on social media and everything else. You see it in, you know, Yelp, Yelp stars and whatnot, and comments. But then in that, you know, it takes a strategy to continue that along the way. So, you know, the idea that strategy governs plans is a really important aspect of sustainable growth. The idea of strategy versus plans, the two are very different. A plan is really the actualization in a shorter duration of what the strategy is.
Right.
You know, I always like to say it's, you know, the idea of sumo wrestlers in the ring, right? It took good plans to get those sumo wrestlers in the ring, but when it came to it, all of that was a grander strategy for that sumo wrestler. And what's going on in the ring is literally the actualization of the strategy.
Right.
And does it have to change? Absolutely. That sumo wrestler has to change his posture, has to change his center of gravity, or else he's going to lose to what could be a grander strategy across the ring. So that idea of being agile and adaptive, I think, is a key aspect of strategy. And then, you know, to the question of how do you develop a strategy? That's where the science and the art kind of really, you know, come together. There's a lot of art to strategy. You know, it's setting, number one, an understanding of the environment to apply to who's our competition and who are we, right? So that triad right there is really at the crux of understanding your strategy. We use what's called the 5Ds process for developing strategy as SLA. But, it, you know, if you boil it down, what that is really getting after is a methodical way of understanding our environmental frame and, you know, who is our competition, who are we, what are we looking to set out to do, you know, what have we done, you know, really that situational context. And what does this economy look like? What does the market look like? Who are my clients? I mean, it's really getting to know every aspect of the environment.
Right.
And then shifting, okay, now that we know, now that we have a good diagnosis of who we are and who they are and who everybody is and equally those external factors that are influencing us, what are we trying to get after in that? What's our problem,
right.
You know? And from there, you're able to establish goals, and those goals then lead to objectives, and objectives then can be codified into attainable tasks. And now that big elephant of strategy, which governs, gives you a good implementation plan at the grassroots level. You know, every employee in the business can figure out, if it's clear and actionable, how this task right here directly contributes to that grand strategy, you know?
You know, I've been, as I have mentioned to you, I've counseled thousands of people, and I've taught I'm in the process of counting all the number of sessions I've had with people, and I'm not done yet, but it's thousands. But what I there are two you've kind of verbalized some of the things that I do, that I my approach. First of all, I feel that there's foundations that you you start from, and there's a foundation grouping that I call the five no's. So it's know your industry inside and out. Know your competition inside and out.
Yep.
Know yourself. Know your target audience. And by the way, a lot of people don't know who their target audiences are. They
Absolutely.
Can't even verbalize it.
Absolutely.
And then the fifth one is having studied the industry, the competition, the target, and yourself in terms of what you know and don't know. It's like doing a SWOT analysis on
Absolutely.
Yourself and the competition.
Yep.
Is how do you reach the target with a message that's going to resonate so that you attract them to
sure.
you. So that and then when I talk to people, and you've mentioned this, there are certain common denominators among just about everybody I talk to. A lot of them, they don't know their targets are, who they mm-hmm. are. They talk about themselves in terms of what, instead of what's in it for somebody to do business with them. I mean, these are just random thoughts. They don't have a CRM system or way to keep track of people that they want to communicate with. They don't have a message. They believe in spending money out of the gate before. I'm a guerrilla marketing coach, so I don't believe in spending money until push comes to shove. But those are some of the common denominators among everybody. So just as you know, you can take these concepts that you work with and your strategies, and you manipulate them for the situation that you're in with or that your client's in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just carry it through.
Yep.
So years ago, I used to say, how can you guide somebody in an industry when you've never been in it?
Mm-hmm.
But I learned a long time ago that the approach that I have works for everybody that
Absolutely.
I talk to. I just have to modify the message or my approach based on whoever it might be.
Sure.
And that's really what you have done. Now, when you're you have talked about the other thing I wanted to mention to you is that I usually recommend that you seek out no more than three or four target audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So and if you seek out too many, you run yourself ragged.
Be overwhelming.
It's too overwhelming, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, it might be two, three, or four, but certainly I recommend no more than four target categories. Now, restaurants is one of them. Is there another target area of business that you're interested in pursuing or perhaps have already identified?
Yeah, so I have. I think it kind of identified me
okay.
in part,
okay.
And it was interesting. I think I obviously knew within my heart of hearts that I have a love for fellow veterans that are setting out on the same journey that I set out on. And interestingly enough, one of my first real engagements of someone who was outside of my ideal client realm, at least as I knew it, was a veteran who is really, I mean, when you talk about an entrepreneur getting after it, you know, the grind, right, is typically the way that's referred. It was that kind of opportunity. And so I really think, you know, that second audience, if I can help in any way provide value, it's some of those young entrepreneur veterans that are getting out there. You know, the statistics that are out there about if you look at the times after the world wars and now, and the difference in how many veterans have stepped out there to really get after it on their own in small business, right now there's a fairly big gap. And I don't know if it was generational. I'm sure there's a lot of factors that play into that. But, I mean, if there's one nugget that I could give to those listening, especially if they're veterans, you know, what you have experienced and what you have gained in your time in the military, whether that was, you know, one term of 4 years or whether that was, you know, a full 20 or 30 year career, it has a huge impact on our civilian community and, you know, the communities within which we live. And so I think, you know, don't take that for granted. Don't, feel like you don't have something to offer because you've been doing the military thing
right.
for so long. I think you will find you'll be delightfully surprised with how much you really do have to offer. And actually, that's much to, you know, the same approach that Dr. Kalenda takes with Strategic Leaders Academy. I mean, he's engaging other senior military officials to come on board with him and, you know, jump in this same, you know, opportunity of consulting and advising and coaching to have that kind of impact.
Right.
And that's whoever our ideal client we want it to be. So, you know, one of my fellow franchisees has, you know, he has a passion for athletics and, you know, and top performers. So he's been absolutely, you know, already huge value in several of the lacrosse and athletic teams that he's built a connection with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so much to give even to that. You know, I mean, the athletes have come back and coaches have come back to him and said, man, what you shared was so impactful. I mean, it made a difference in not just how we played today, but how we play, you know, tomorrow and beyond. It's pretty neat. So,
It is interesting to have those experiences. People that if they have the passion for wanting to build a business, there's a lot they don't know what they don't know.
Absolutely.
So the passion is not everything, but it's a good start. And
it's
then
true.
you have to begin to fill in the blanks, so to speak, to educate them on things they need to know. And this is where I'm so helpful. I really help people a lot. I mean, I've done 2 telephone consultations yesterday and today, and the people were good to go for their business, but they didn't know about this, they didn't know about that.
Yep.
And within an hour's time, I could get them up to speed with what they now need to what resources they need to seek in order to fulfill their dreams of starting these businesses. And they're so thankful to have that insight that they never would have had.
Yeah.
No way. They wouldn't have had it.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's a very fulfilling opportunity to work with people like that.
It is. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think if I could encourage, it just takes the first step. And that's the hardest one, right? Because it looks so long and far, and, you know, so you're constantly, like, trying to prepare yourself. If you're like me, you know, type A personality, like, I don't necessarily want to step forward unless, like, I know that step's going to land firm and, you know, but the entrepreneurial spirit isn't that way. So you really do have to take that first step, whether it's establishing your LLC, whether it's, you know, just starting those wheels turning, focusing on, hey, you've got an idea to better something, or you have, like, you make something better than anybody, and you get comments of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just starting somewhere to recognize that you're making the world a better place and what you can contribute, and starting the administrative move that direction is, you know.
But pre-planning is critical.
Oh, yeah.
The woman that I counseled today on the telephone, she launched a business, or officially as an LLC. She's committed herself to a business event where she's going to show her stuff. Come to find out, the name she chose is not going to work for her, which means her LLC, she can keep that, but she's going to have a DBA that will be reflective of what the business is going to be about, because she chose a name that everybody and his brother has and had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to go back to the drawing board with new brochures. There are people that have come to me and said, this is what I did, this, and that. And I said, did you write a business plan? And quite often, most often they say no.
Right.
And they've come to me and said, now what do I do? I said, well, if you had written a business plan before you took all these steps, you wouldn't even be asking me these questions.
Yep. Yeah.
And of course, it's easy for me to say this, because, but when I started the business, I didn't know what a business plan was. But that's back a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, the business plan is so much more than just a communication tool to get the bank to lend you some money. You know, it really is, like you said, it's actually more of a learning experience.
Absolutely.
for that young leader to understand what it is I'm going to set out upon here in a moment. Absolutely. You know, just Googling a business plan model and starting out with that as a framework is a great place to start.
About
what's my vision, what's my true mission, what am I trying. How am I trying to engage?
Right.
You know, what am I providing?
Yeah.
You know, what value am I bringing? Is it a service? Is it a product? Is it both? Yeah.
That's and do people want it?
So true. Exactly. Yeah, right?
That's amazing to me mm-hmm. how many people start businesses and they haven't even researched it to see if there's a need for it.
Yeah.
Or is there an underserved marketplace that they could focus on rather than what they're planning to do?
Right.
There's just so many things.
A solution with no problem, right?
Yeah, right. That's about right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on to some of our sponsors and I'll be right back.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
So I'm so glad that you're listening and viewing this program today. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host here on Teachable Moments in Business. We're in Flemington on September 24th, and my guest is Eric Kober, who is the owner and founder of Kober, a strategic leader, Leader Consulting, LLC. And he's been sharing with us the background that he has from the military, which is extensive, and how he applies this knowledge to help business owners either launch and or sustain what they've already started. And business is tough. I mean, you had mentioned that you originally were focusing on restaurants, and a statement that you made on the document that you sent to me said that one out of three restaurants fail in their first year.
Mm-hmm.
And you do see that. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it's marketing, and I have a thing about marketing. Mm-hmm. And I use the example sometimes. I live near Route 31, and if you travel 31 from Washington down to Flemington, there's mm-hmm. several restaurants that have been in and out of business for years. And I'll say, now they have location. So mm-hmm. location's not an issue
right.
for these people, theoretically.
Right.
But if their parking lot's empty on a Saturday night, they haven't given people reasons to go there.
Sure.
And that's the thing. You have to explain to people what's in it for them to do business with you. So messaging becomes really critical. But going back, what's your planned attack, so to speak, when you first engage with someone? I mean, there's a process that you work through mm-hmm. in order to uncover their concerns and their problems, so
sure.
that you can help to steer them in a direction. Of course, they have to buy into what you recommend. Too,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
But can you share like your strategic approach with a customer or a client that you're counseling?
Yeah. So I hate to say it's fairly simple, but it really starts out as building a relationship.
Okay.
And asking the right questions, just asking them questions about their business. Being interested, mm-hmm. I think, is a big component because they're going to answer what their problems are themselves. They're going to identify pretty quickly, especially when you talk about culture, leadership, strategy, mm-hmm. and or all three. You know, when you talk about sustainable growth, there's always challenges within each of those. So really just asking the hard questions, like you said, the same ones that ultimately should be part of a good business plan, the ones that, you know, if everything was just honky-dory, that they're going to have the answers to like that because they're using that to assess their business, they're going to come out. Or the recognition that they don't have that then starts to build what's evident in a gap between where we are today and where we want to get to, right? And how do we get there is commonly the difficulty. And that aha moment, I think, is one of the most powerful, at least that I've seen, in then being able to say, you know, what are the resources and tools that I can bring to provide value to that? And it's any array. It's any of assortment. I mean, it could be persona tests, you know, 360 type assessments for an individual and or organization.
Mm-hmm.
It could literally just be some half day workshops and whatnot of team building. Or it could be full-blown need for strategy development. You know, hey, let's take this through the methodical process of understanding where we are today, where we want to get to, and let's plan the course of action to get us there. So I tend to think it's, you know, I know there's a lot of methods for sales out there. I think for the truly ideal client, they know what they need and what they want, and it shouldn't take a sales pitch. It should really just take a good conversation and understanding that what the need is, and then assigning a solution to help that need, and doing it out of a caring, you know, and a passion for what they're doing. And I think that's the right, you know, I mean, there's probably a lot of ways to monetize a business, but I'll say in this chapter of my life, you know, I'm not really about monetizing. I'm about making an impact and helping small businesses get to that place where they know they can get. But in the back of their mind, there's so many questions of, you know, how do we get there? Sometimes it's just rolling up your sleeves and let's get after it together and figure this thing out. All you right. know, so yeah.
One of the things I find with at least the small business owners that I've worked with is they don't realize how important marketing and selling is, skills would be in their business. And quite often, more often than not, people have had no training in either one of those areas. And today you can't be a marketer or just a salesperson. You have to wear both hats, so to speak. Yep. And your staff has to be trained in those skills as well. And unless they are, because they could make so many mistakes that would be detrimental to a business if they didn't understand the what marketing is, which is a huge big umbrella, really. There's a lot of little things you have to do. And if they don't have the selling skills, I'll give you an example. Over the last couple of days, I've said thank you to a couple people for something they've done, and they'll say, "Oh, no problem. That's wrong. That's you have to be positive in your interaction. Saying no problem, that is a negative word.
Right.
They should be saying, "Oh, it's a pleasure to serve you."
Absolutely.
Something on that order. But that's an example that the owners of the companies don't train their salespeople or their employees or somebody who's answering the telephone. They're not trained how to even talk to people. And that's all becomes reflected on the company.
Sure. On the brand,
Isn't that amazing?
It is. No, gets after the idea of culture, right? So culture is so much more than just a business plan doesn't infuse culture. You're right. I mean, there's a training aspect to culture.
Absolutely.
And then there's also even the talent you choose to work for you has an influence, either positive or negative, on your culture. I mean, having the right folks working on the team that you've taken the time and care to vet and invest in pays itself in the long run as a dividend to your organization.
Yeah.
Or it takes out of the bank, right? It takes its deposit from, or withdrawal, should say, from the bank.
There's a restaurant in Hackettstown, Italian restaurant, and we've only been there a couple times, but the first time my husband and I went to it, we thought, boy, the staff is really friendly, and you could see all the waitresses are walking around, they're diligent, I mean, they're getting the job done, and the owner came up to speak to us, and he asked if we had ever been there before. The answer was no. He said, "Have you noticed how efficient my waitresses are in their work, the wait staff?" And I said, "Yeah, we noticed. They look really focused on the customers." He says, "I hire for personality and I train for skills."
Yep.
And boy, did that show. So that's what we have to think about. One time I was on a plane going somewhere, and I sat next to an insurance broker, and he said that he trains all his employees, and his peers in the industry were criticizing him for training people who might leave and go elsewhere. He said, "I'd rather have a good person leave than a bad one stay."
Sure. I've heard that before.
So training is critical. There's just so many aspects of business that people are just not aware of.
Well, and the cost to lose a valuable member of the team. I mean, the statistics on on how much an HR turnover costs. I mean, one of the things I found in my research for restaurants and, you know, quick service and or fast casual, their turnover rates are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because they hire for really a base level of skill and don't necessarily take the time to find out the personality piece.
Exactly.
And then they leave.
Right.
And now what do you have to do?
You
got to train you know, 1, 2, 3 people behind that person. So
That's true.
Huge cost.
I'm teaching, I have a class later on this year, maybe October, November, at Raritan College. It's how to attract and keep good employees. Mm-hmm. And so we get into this kind of discussion in, the, in the class. Tonight I'm teaching a class on the trade show and event marketing, actually.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's on a Zoom program, so it's going to be broadcast live over the Internet to the people that sign up for the program. That's
awesome.
I'm doing that tonight. We're coming down to the wire here, and I... It bothers me when we go too fast, actually. So just I talked about just so people can hear you say what are the areas of business that you're interested in helping people in? You have restaurants. We have the military, which I think is really good. I've had some military people in my classes who have the passion for a business, but they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
So are there any? Is there say one other category of business that you're interested in
helping? You know, so when you just talk about. It's really any either small business or nonprofit that I could ultimately assist.
Okay.
It really comes down to whether they're looking at themselves and recognizing the need.
Yeah.
So I really want to be able to help that business owner that recognizes they want to take it to the next level and are looking for alternative ways to see the problem.
Exactly. So they have to be willing to invest.
Right.
They have to invest in their business for it to be successful.
So that's kind of a generalized way, but of saying I really want to help a business leader that wants to help themselves get to that next level.
So how
team.
Can people get in touch with you?
So, I mean, you can find me anywhere on social. It's at Cobra Strat Lead. You can find me on equally the same in Facebook and LinkedIn. I have my personal account, Eric Cobra. You can find me there, and or Cobra Strategic Leader Consulting. And then additionally, you can find us on the upper website of strategicleadersacademy.com.
Okay. And so your name is spelled E-R-I-K, and it's K-O-B-E-R, just
correct.
So people know how to spell it. So
you
can find it, because you can spell Eric a couple different ways.
Absolutely. Yep. And I'd love to connect. You know, don't fear, you know, making a connection. It really is about relationships and I'm here to help and would love to give you advice or, you know, if you just need a sounding board, happy to get involved.
Okay, so let's get a pencil and paper handy. We have Eric has his phone number here, so can you share that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 254-535-9549.
Okay.
And I am more than available. Just, you know, give me a holler.
So I found the email address was eric.cober. Mm-hmm. At strategicleadersacademy.com?
Correct, yep.
Okay.
And you can find that as well on the website. So if you're looking for, you know, there's connect radial buttons out there if you want to set up a call or, you know, just a discussion.
And I did see that you offer a free probably assessment of whether or not somebody needs the consultant.
Sure, yep.
Would you put it that way?
Absolutely, yep. And that really is just a, you know, 20-minute conversation, understanding where you're at, what you're looking for, and I'll tell you, if I or we're not the right fit, you know, I really believe strongly in a referral method of sharing value. So if I don't have the value to give you, I'll do my best to put you in touch with somebody that has the value that you're looking for. So, and, you know, obviously Vicky's a great resource for that. So if you're listening, you know, please reach out and we'd be happy to be there for you.
Very good. So those of you who are listening today, keep in mind that we're always looking for people to interview for the program, or if there are certain topics that you would like us to cover in these sessions, that would be great. Teachable Moments in Business is on from 3 to 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoons here at the Chamber of Commerce. And I hope that you'll send me an email. My email address is vmorgan@russmore.com. The name of my business is Rossmore Mentoring Group, and my phone number is 908-832-9544, so you can certainly give us a call that way. So I thank you for attending the program today. Tell your friends about us, and you can re-listen to this either on Facebook live on Teachable Moments, and or you can listen to it on the podcast on the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. So see you again next week. Bye-bye now.
Take care.
Yes, and thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Vicki, for the opportunity. And thank you for what you do.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says on Wednesday he will release a complete, fully declassified, unredacted transcript of his phone call with the Ukrainian president in which he discussed a possible investigation into Joe Biden and his son. With all that being said, that's still not enough for Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer, who says at his weekly press conference he needs to hear from the whistleblower himself, to which former Department of Justice attorney James Trustee believes
the best evidence of the phone call is the transcript, not some third-hand party saying, here's what I think might have happened or what I heard happened. So it's kind of moving the goalposts to say, yeah, we'll take the real evidence, but we also want speculation about the real evidence, which is where Schumer is now.
Trustee speaking there on Fox News, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to announce the launch of a formal impeachment inquiry against President Trump later today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Would you take $100 and throw 80 of it away? If you're taking drugstore vitamin tablets, that's exactly what you're doing, because 80% of those tablets are not being absorbed. Hi, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, creator of Texas Superfood. Many of you take Texas Superfood daily and feel great, but some people tell us they just don't like the taste of green powder or they have a problem swallowing capsules. That's why we created our new line of great-tasting liquid supplements. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid. From multivitamins to products for energy, sleep, joint care, and more, our liquid supplements offer the highest absorption rates available anywhere, up to 96%. Imagine waking up after a great night's sleep feeling rested and ready to handle the day with endless energy and clarity. Stop wasting your money on drugstore vitamin tablets that don't work. Get absorbable liquid nutrition from the name you trust, Texas Superfood. Visit texassuperfood.com/liquid to get 20% off. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid now.
Turning now to the 2020 election, former Vice President Joe Biden addresses a phone call that President Trump had with the president of Ukraine.
I can take the political attacks. They'll come and they'll go, and in time they'll soon be forgotten. But if we allow a president to get away with shredding the United States Constitution, that will last forever.
Biden did not take any questions from the press. A case is being continued for the Rockland, New York father whose twin babies died after being left in a hot car in the Bronx. Joey Jackson, attorney for Juan Rodriguez, says prosecutors are taking a very thorough view of the case, and he doesn't expect it to go to a grand jury or have a plea deal.
While this is a horrific tragedy that has affected my client, his wife, his children deeply, that it is not a crime.
The 39-year-old father claims he forgot to drop off the twins at daycare this summer. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Presidential hopeful Robert Francis O'Rourke is bringing his message to the United Auto Workers strike picket line in Ohio. O'Rourke also has a message for Congress and Speaker of the House, Democrat Nancy Pelosi.
There's more than enough evidence and enough reasons to move forward on impeachment, and it's really time for Speaker Pelosi and the House to do their job.
O'Rourke spent about an hour meeting with workers striking against General Motors at the Westchester picket line on Tuesday. The former Texas congressman also has campaign stops in Dayton and Columbus on Tuesday. They call it TV's big night, but viewership for the Emmy Awards wasn't something to celebrate, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please, all right, I will get this show back on track because that's what I will do.
If Emmy Awards producers were hoping that going without a host would result in the same ratings rebound that the MC-less Oscars saw earlier this year, well, they were sorely mistaken. Emmy Awards viewership dropped to about 6.9.